Interrobang.
From Catskill.net, I'm Dave DeGraw, and you're listening to Interrobang. If you're interested, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel to be notified when new episodes come out, or you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts, as well as Catskill.net/podcast. Let's get right into it. Welcome back to Interrobang. On today's episode, I'm joined by my buddy Sam. We go way back. We worked at the same company a long time ago, and we both no longer work for that company. Sam formerly worked for a big tech company and no longer does that. Currently, he has told me he is an international man of leisure. So we're going to hear all about what that's like. But Sam, thanks for joining me today, man.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
You're the third Sam I've talked to on the podcast so far, in the third country as well. So all three Sams are in a different country.
Third kind's a charm.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be the best one. The other two, no, I'm just kidding. They were great. All right, man. The first question I want to talk to you about is, I remember when I first met you, I asked you like what you like to do or something like that. Or if like you could do anything in the world, what would you do? And you told me you would go surfing. And I want to know, is that true or are you just trying to sound cool at the time?
Honestly, probably just trying to sound cool. I was trying to get that job, you know.
But you do surf.
I do surf, yeah. I live in Taiwan now, and I've surfed a few times here. I don't own a board, but I mean, I surf, you know, a couple times a year.
Is it
back
fun?
Then, I was probably surfing more.
It seems like it would just be like a ton of swimming super hard.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, it's more of a workout most of the time than an actual like fun activity. Like if you're snowboarding, you get to sit on a lift and then just go down.
Yeah.
but on a surfboard, it's kind of like you've got to work for it.
So that's a good question, because compared to other board sports, right? Like I would say skateboarding to me is like alcohol. Like they're pounding beers at the skate park. Snowboarding to me is like weed. Like they're smoking a joint on the lift. What's the deal with surfing? Because I've heard surfers are like super aggro and like kind of like super mean or something like that. So is it like because they're not stoned at all, they're just like really mean? Or is that just like a misconception? Are surfers totally chill and cool?
Well, yeah, that is a good question. Alcohol, weed. I mean, if you're surfing, if you're a real good surfer, you have to go before the wind comes in the morning. And so you have to go like at 5:30 or 6 a.m. at the latest. And so you probably haven't had your coffee, and so you're just angry in general. Maybe they're on coke.
Stimulants. You know? Yeah.
Probably.
Wake up, snort a line, hit the beach. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. I've seen crazy videos of surfers, and obviously there's like the Beach Boys thing, but that's, they don't surf. They're not even...
Yeah, they're just posers.
That's very interesting, man, because what do you think about, well, we talked about skimboarding one time, like ocean skimboarding, because I think that's like legit, man. Like those guys
are crazy, hardcore.
And it feels to me like maybe, because I mean, you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to like, you know, you don't have to run as fast as you can and chuck it and go way out there like some people do. You can just go on the beach, right? So it seems like it'd be a little bit more relaxed and chill, and maybe you could do it whenever during the day instead of just in the morning.
You've never been skimboarding?
Dude, well, I used to go river skimboarding here. So people say that that's like not real, but like it's different. It's kind of like vert versus street skating or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just different.
I've seen like you don't get injured very much if you're just like kind of a casual surfer. But if you're a casual skimboarder, you're going to break your freaking back.
Really? Because you trip going down the beach and do a freaking scorpion?
Yeah, and a scorpion. Oh, man. I've seen so many people try to skimboard for like the first time and just eat sand. Dude, so hard.
Freaking. What do they
and
call
it? I've done it too.
Disc herniated. Every single disc is now herniated for the rest of your life. Yeah. Crippled.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that because they do. I mean, it's like the guys I've seen, they run. It's like when you're running down a hill and you're running like faster than you can even run. That's how fast they're going. It's like how they don't just die. And then they go out there and they're like, and then they hit the wave and it's so sick. But
It is cool.
Yeah.
But it'll hurt. most of the time.
I was thinking though, because there's this band that I like. They're from I don't know, somewhere in Australia where it's a big surfing community, Rainbow Bay. They're called the Babe Rainbow. And they have a song called Morning Song that I really like. And I just kind of made that connection that they probably, because it has a line, it's like, it's okay, we'll sleep in the afternoon. And I was like, oh, it's probably like a surfing thing. Like they wake up super early, hear the bird, like go out on the beach super early. And then they're just like chilling the rest of the day.
So maybe
that's what it is. Surfers are chilling cool, but not when they're surfing. Like when they're serving, it's like they're in the zone. That's what they do. And then the rest of the day, then they're maybe smoking the joint or pounding the beers or whatever people do.
Yeah.
Not that that's the only thing you can do, but definitely I feel like snowboarding is the most stoner board sport that I can think of.
Definitely. For sure. For sure.
Cause like, yeah, I'm thinking like wakeboarding is like you could basically just have to be rich.
You have to have like a martini or something.
Dude, I have such little respect for wake surfing, man. Like when people are like
wake surfing?
Yeah, like when they do them in a boat, like it's just like, oh, I love wake surfing. I'm like, that's like the easiest one, and like the barrier to entry is so ridiculously high, you know? Like the barrier to entry to skateboarding is like zero. Yeah. Like kids, that's why poor kids, like we're just rat kids, you know? But the barrier to entry is like, to get good at wake surfing, it's like, and it's, again, like, they can get good, but like, I don't know about it. Wakeboarding is cool, on the other hand. Wakeboarding is, maybe it's on the level of like snowboarding a little bit, like, because there's a lot of downtime in between, you know, sessions. But what's your favorite board sport? Do you do any boarding? Do you do much boarding?
I have a skateboard. I don't know. I mean, if I could choose, I'd probably go snowboarding most often, but it's so prohibitively expensive to go, like, for me.
Really?
It's just like
Taiwan.
I mean, it's like 100, 200 bucks.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go, I'd have to fly to Japan.
Yeah. Have you snowboarded you snowboarded in Utah. Have you snowboarded anywhere else? Like, does Utah truly have the greatest snow?
I haven't gone like in a lot of places. I've gone in Washington, Idaho, and China, and Utah's the best out of those probably, but
of the snow, of the resorts that you've been to in Utah, which one is your favorite? Do you have a favorite snowboard resort?
Yeah.
Brighton?
No. What's the one? I think it's Powder Mountain up in Ogden.
Just like low-key, smaller?
It's super low-key, small, and more flat. I go to like...
it's not super steep.
What is it? Snowbird or... I don't know. On a snowboard, I don't like super steep stuff.
Yeah, you just kind of want to cruise more, maybe hit the pow.
I want to cruise, hit the powder, and then like find a little jump to
Man, there was a time after I graduated from high school, I moved out when I was like 18 at my mom's house, and me and my older brother, we lived together. And for that Christmas, my dad gave us snowboards and a season pass to Brian Head. You ever been to Brian Head, dude? Down in like kind of by Cedar. It's like a little bit of a similar vibe. It's like this its own thing. It's kind of way out there. And it's actually the highest ski resort in Utah, believe it or not. So the altitude sickness is gnarly. But me and my brother were basically snowboard bums for like a winter. Like we would go snowboarding like several times a week. Like had no money, you know, like pounding Taco Bell if we could even afford it. But that's exactly what we do, man. We just hit the same run over and over and over again. Get air. Man, it feels so good. Like, yeah, getting
it's
air.
So fun.
Hitting the powder, like... Yeah, I don't know. Like, I bought a bunch of good gear a couple of years ago too, but I'm too afraid to go. I'm a weakling, man. Because I've hit my head hard a couple of times, and like, I feel like, dude, if I just like, it's just not worth it, you know? Like, I'm getting too old. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I should take up skiing.
Yeah, skiing's cool now. Skiing is cool. You got kids too. I mean, you could teach your kids how to ski. And that's always fun.
I don't know. It seems. Is there any kid that learned how to ski when they were a kid, or is there a kid that learned how to do a board sport when they were a kid that isn't also traumatized by having to learn how to do the board sport? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you see the kids, it's like, here you go. And they're just like screaming. Like, and I get that they can learn and have fun, but like initially, at least.
I have home videos of me and my little brother when we were 3 and 5 skiing, and we were stoked. We were really excited and happy to go.
So that's cool. Are your parents good skiers?
Yeah, my mom's dad sold Rossignol skis, and so my mom was a really good skier, and then my dad learned later, and yeah.
Very cool.
So they taught us young.
What do you think the ski, what's the deal with ski culture then? Are ski bums different than snowboard bums in your opinion? Was it kind of the same?
I probably don't know enough. Yeah, and nowadays it's all, there was some animosity back in, you know, 2000, but nowadays it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all love.
I mean, it's basically like you against rich people, no matter what you're doing. Like there'll be rich guys snowboarding, rich guys skiing, you know, you freaking, yeah. There was a guy in Utah that I think is like up in Park City. He nailed Gwyneth Paltrow and like, oh no, I think Gwyneth Paltrow ran into him. I can't remember, but he sued her. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Rich somebody. People, freaking rich people and their activities.
Yeah, dude.
If you were rich, what would your activity be?
Probably exactly what I'm doing now.
Describe that for me.
So here's my daily routine.
Okay.
Every morning, Caitlin wakes up. My wife wakes up at 7 and then goes to school at 7:30. And when she goes to school, I walk out of my house and walk across the street right here to 7-Eleven.
Heck yeah, and dude! Is 7-Eleven good in Taiwan?
It's so good.
Oh my gosh, dude. I've only been to 7-Eleven in Japan, and it is like my favorite place in the world.
Yeah. I'm assuming. It's like the same. Cool. It's like the same as Japanese 7-Eleven.
What do you get
there? So I walk across the street to 7-Eleven, and they have a combo deal where you can get a blueberry or a strawberry yogurt drink and a rice onigiri triangle.
Yeah, dude. I love the rice. Is it just rice, or does it have filling in it?
It has some tuna or chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
And I get one of those, and then I have my phone, and I sit at the counter at 7-Eleven and eat it at 7-Eleven.
Living the dream.
For like 10 minutes in the morning, and then I come back up here and sit on this couch and I play video games for 6 hours.
Then your wife comes home from work. Why only 6 hours?
Well, so I play for 6 hours, then at like 3 in the afternoon I go coach soccer.
Oh, okay.
Every day at the school. I coach the varsity boys team. And then after that, there's some 5-year-old boys in my building that I met in my elevator in my apartment building, and their mom said, "Hey, can you teach my kids English?" And so after soccer practice, I'll go over to their house and read them books and play Uno with them. And the mom pays me like $25 an hour.
Cool, man. That's a sweet gig.
To just hang out. So basically, that's my life. It's pretty nice.
What do you do for lunch usually?
I order Uber Eats every day for lunch. What do you order? It's either a poke bowl from down the street, or a bento box, or a Japanese katsu curry chicken kind of thing.
Dude, and that's man, you are living the dream, because okay, so for the people that don't know, the listeners that don't know, poke bowls, it's not a Pokemon, it's basically sushi but in a bowl, right?
Yeah.
So it's just raw fish with all the other stuff, and it's like, it seems more efficient to me. Kind of a Hawaiian thing, right?
Yeah, comes from Hawaii.
And then you do the Japanese katsu curry, so it's like golden curry, or is it red?
Mm-hmm. Golden curry with a katsu meat.
One of the best meals of my entire life was when I was in Japan, and I just did a random train station, and I was like kind of sick or maybe not feeling that great, and it was cold and rainy, and I just got like their basic, you know, $4 curry plate, and it was like, I think about that all the time. I'll never make it back there. That was like the best. That's cool. Uber Eats. So what they, I assume over there in Taiwan, it's like pretty efficient. They got the guys running around doing that all the time and stuff.
Yeah. They're on motorcycles, and we pay like, what, $20 a year for like the premium thing, so it's free delivery whenever you want.
Uber Eats Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Uber Eats Prime, man. And we use it like lunch and dinner usually.
What do you do for dinner then? I assume that's with your wife after soccer and tutoring.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, most of the time I'm like tutoring these kids and my wife will like walk across the street to dinner with a friend or something. But and then I'll like Uber Eats a burrito to my house for when I get home or something like that. Yeah,
that's cool. You speak Chinese?
I do speak some Mandarin. Yeah, enough to get around. Yeah,
and that's what they speak in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah. Enough to get around. And all right, so tell me more about being the coach of the varsity soccer team. You have a I didn't know that you played soccer. Oh, maybe I did know, because that's why Sergio likes you, because you play soccer. Yeah.
Yeah, Sergio, I forgot about that guy. I played soccer all growing up, and then when I got here, I was like, hey, do you guys need a soccer coach? And they were like, yeah, we need, like, you want to be the assistant coach? We can use an assistant coach, but we have a head coach already. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And then they're like, oh, the head coach isn't going to be here for the first week, so can you run practice? I was like, yeah, sure. And then they're like, oh, the head coach isn't going to be here for the first month. And I was like, okay, I'll run practice. And they're like, oh, the head coach isn't coming back. You're the head coach now. So,
pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'd never coached before. And then they put me in charge. And I mean, I've been to training like 3 times a week for my entire life, so I kind of know. I knew what to do, mostly. But it's fun to see the kids, you know, improve and get better. The kids here aren't. The main sport here is basketball for sure.
Interesting.
Basketball and like badminton and baseball. Even baseball's big. Soccer's like down the list. So it's not super popular, and so my kids aren't that good. So I can teach them some stuff, and we have fun. We have an on-island tournament in the league that we play against other international schools, and then we have an international tournament that we go to every year. So I went to Japan the first year for a weekend tournament, and then Korea last year.
Wow.
For a weekend tournament. That's really fun.
South Korea?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just kidding. I don't know. Whenever somebody says Korea, I always like to clarify. Just they don't. Nobody ever thinks it's funny. I do, but anyways, that's really cool, man. And I mean, that just sounds like awesome.
It's really fun. It's a lot of work, though. I'm in the sun for 2 hours every day. I use a lot of sunscreen. So. And it's really freaking hot. It's like 100% humidity and like 85 or to 90 degrees every day. So
you're just melting.
Yeah.
So it's pretty tropical on the equator in Taiwan. I should look.
We're a little bit north of the equator, but it's warm. I mean, it's a small island, so and I'm on the south side. I'm in a city called Kaohsiung. So I'm on the very southern tip of Taiwan, and we get some nice warm air. So it's a good deal. Play a lot of soccer. I also play on my own like men's club team, a bunch of like international guys here.
Really? You guys kill it? You tear it up?
I mean, we drink a lot of beer.
So that's the soccer thing then, huh? It's hanging around pounding them. Not so much weed or cocaine. Maybe a little bit of that too.
There's that too, yeah.
What's the main drug in Taiwan for people to do recreationally?
I mean, weed is... All the drugs are very illegal here.
Illegal or legal?
Illegal.
Okay.
Taiwan is the only country that possession of marijuana carries a higher jail time than international espionage.
That's crazy.
Because there are so many people that get put in jail from Beijing, from China, that are on like international spies, that it's not that big of a deal. But weed has a 5-year jail sentence. And yeah, so they're pretty behind on that. But the reason actually that I found my men's club team is because I went to buy drugs from a guy. And I was like, yeah, I coach the soccer team over at the school. And he was like, oh yeah, come out and play with us. And this guy was the manager of the team. So
pretty nice connection there. You're making a community. Yeah. It can't be all bad. That's hilarious, man. Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, that's wild. So they don't have like medical cannabis there at all?
Mm-mm. No way. They don't even have Adderall. They don't have Adderall. They don't have like any like, very, very conservative in that kind of way.
What about the other weird stuff though? Like, is it like Kratom or what's the other one that's like I thought it was like from Thailand, like the leaf kratom and salvia, stuff like that. Do they do that there?
I'm not really familiar. They have a bunch of like Chinese medicine, like traditional stuff. That's probably like way worse or way crazier.
They have that here too, apparently, though. It's like there's like weird gray market loopholes where it's like Chinese, like, you know, Asian grocery stores are allowed to sell it, but like you're not like technically allowed to use it, or I don't know what. But it's interesting. What about like what about psychedelics over there? No?
No.
So it's mostly beer. Mm-hmm. Beer's the only thing legal?
And you can drink wherever you want on the street, in the park.
I think that's how Japan is too, right? Because like I don't know a ton about like beer culture, but from what I understand, it's like it's like you can get a beer from 7-Eleven and drink it. Because in America, you can't do that.
No, you can't. You can't like drink outside in public,
really,
or like whatever. But here, like you grab a beer at 7-Eleven, you go outside and sit on the street or whatever, and
it's chill.
Drink a beer, go to the park. That's what we do after every soccer match with the boys.
Chill.
It's a good vibe.
Yeah, I remember on my mission in Kentucky one time, I was talking to these guys who were sitting in a truck with like a bunch of beers, like drinking them. And I was like, hey, is that legal? And they were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know. I was just like, I've never seen somebody drinking a beer in a car before. I didn't know that was a thing, but go commit vehicular manslaughter. But I guess that's probably not as big of an issue like over there, right? Because not as many people have to drive. Is public transportation more of a thing?
Public transportation is more of a thing. People still drive. Motorcycles are,
But a DUI on a motorcycle, it's like maybe you take out 1-2 people, but like, you know what I mean? And plus, if you're willing to do that, it's like you're going to get selected out pretty quickly by killing yourself, I think.
On a
motorcycle. True. Like a DUI, like a DUI with like a F-350 towing a trailer versus like a DUI on like a Honda mini bike or whatever. Like, seems like a different ball game.
It is a different ball game. I went back to, we've been here for 2 years, and I went back to the States a couple months ago for the first time in 2 years. And I was like scared on the roads. The cars are so much bigger than here. Like, there's cars here, but they're all like Camrys and, you know, the Asian version of a Camry, which is like a little smaller, and nobody has a big truck or whatever. I went to America and they're like freaking lifted trucks and all this stuff. They're going 80 miles an hour.
Whew. That stuff is crazy. It's really, really crazy.
Gnarly. Yeah, things are slower. I mean, people still die. The traffic is pretty dangerous, and motorcycles are definitely dangerous, but not as.
Is it like clean there? Do they keep it pretty clean? Like, is it safe and clean?
Yeah, safe for sure. Like, I don't know. How many times have you been to Japan?
Twice.
How much? Okay, yeah. So you probably felt safe there. Like,
even in like red light district. Like, not that
I can go to 7-Eleven, I can leave my phone, I could go in, leave my phone on the counter, like walk around the store, buy something, come back, my phone's there, whatever. Like, I don't have any, it's like nobody's gonna take it. You don't have to speak Chinese, you hand somebody like the money for whatever, they'll give you back exact change. You don't have to worry. Yeah, they're just, everybody's honest. It's a very, it's pretty homogenous society and very high trust and very safe. It's like a step lower, maybe a step and a half lower of cleanliness than Japan.
Yeah.
But it's still clean. It's still pretty clean.
Very interesting. I mean, yeah. For what it's worth, you look extremely healthy. That's a weird compliment to say, but like, you're looking good, man. Like,
thanks.
I mean, obviously you're staying in shape and sweating out or whatever, but I mean, you look same as I remember you looking. You still bleaching your hair? Is that what color your hair normally is?
Yeah, no, this is natural. I haven't done anything to it in a while. But yeah, I'm very, it's good for my mental health to be here.
Really?
It's good for my, it's so good. Yeah. I was in Seattle at Microsoft for 2 years before this, and I was dying. It was the worst.
Microsoft was the worst, or Seattle was the worst? Both?
Both. And just, it's such a big difference. It's so nice over here.
Man.
Yeah.
What's rent like?
Rent?
Yeah.
The school pays for us. So our apartment is bigger than our apartment in Seattle. In Seattle, we're paying $2,500. Our apartment here is bigger. Our apartment, I think it's like, I think it's like $1,100 US, but the school pays. So, free.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your wife got she has like a teaching degree?
She has a bachelor and master's in special ed.
Cool. Okay. And so she has a position at a local school there where they provide everything for you. Is it a long-term thing, or are you only there for a little bit and then you're going to go back, or what?
It's an international school. It's a really nice international school where, you know, if you're a diplomat that lives in the city, you send your kids here. It's like the nicest school in town. And there's like 800 kids, kindergarten through 12th grade. And she's the high school special ed advisor. So,
and I imagine, I mean, of all the teaching positions, I think special ed is, there's not a ton of people going into it, right? So it's like a pretty good, from a career kind of standpoint, not like you're teaching PE or something. Not like you're coaching soccer or something, you know. These guys, like, they might show up, they might not. Maybe they come back. Who knows, you know?
If you can't do, you teach. If you can't teach, you teach gym.
Teach gym. I actually applied to be a PE teacher at my kids' elementary school, because after I quit, they like sent out this thing that they were looking for one. But like, you can't be a sub and work for the school district at the same time. It's so dumb. And I was like, that's fine. Like, it was like one day a week. But yeah, I probably wouldn't have been that good at it. Actually, in high school, my mom went to the parent teacher conference, and she told my PE teacher that, like, I don't know what the conversation was. From what I understand, she told him that I am like, don't play a lot of sports, which is true. He understood that I was like disabled. So like, he came up to me and he was like, Dave, I just want you to know, like, if we're ever doing something that like you're not comfortable doing, you know, you can just let me know. You can sit out. It's no big deal. And I'm like, but then he would also like try to challenge me weirdly, like, you know, like, come on, Dave. And I'm like, okay. Oh, sorry. I'm
about to edit it out. You got extra attention. It's always good.
Not from your gym teacher, though, dude. I didn't want that. He was just like an old guy. He's like 100. Yeah. He's like overweight old guy.
That's what made my bed.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Yeah, that's a good situation. And yeah, I subbed. So I subbed all week. I was teaching the 10th grade English this week.
How's that?
It's easy. I mean, I only take sub positions in the high school now. Because most of the time I just like go in and I say, hey, here's what you got to do. Go do it. And then I sit on my computer and play Sudoku or whatever. And then I make some money. But if I'm in like the elementary school or whatever, it's like, it's a full on.
Yeah.
You have to be really engaged. But yeah. High school is easy.
I went to like the orientation thing for being a sub, because I'm still like, I have another thing next week. And they were like, don't yell at the kids. Show up on time. Dress professionally. I'm just like, are you kidding me, dude? Okay. Like, okay. Glad. Yeah. I would have never known that, you know? Glad that they told me. Well, I was going to ask you about something else, but I'm going to skip it. I wanted to kind of go more into like the international living thing. Because like, so you grew up like all over the place. I remember you telling me you lived in Guam, China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All over the place. Your dad is like a secret agent.
My dad is a secret agent. He was in the FBI. We had, yeah, just those two international places, China for 5 years and then Guam for 2 years. And I mean, that's why I'm here, kind of, because I liked living internationally. It's so nice when you're, well, okay, I'll say that it's very privileged of me to look like this with blonde hair and be a tall white guy, because when I'm in Asia, everybody treats me like I'm, you know, some king.
Really?
Or whatever. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh my goodness. And everybody treats me nice, and it's a nice way to live. And I grew up like that as a kid in China for 5 years. Everybody wanted to take my picture, and I mean, the purchasing power of the American dollar is very high in these countries, so you can kind of live off whatever and buy Uber Eats whenever you want, and live very comfortably, and it's super nice.
There's not any, like, there, like, you don't run into any problems being a foreigner?
I mean, okay, there's like foreign, okay, there's some issues. I'd say there are some foreigner taxes that you have to pay. Like, when you first get to a place and you don't speak the language especially, it's like, you're going to mess up some stuff and you're going to buy the wrong thing, or like do your internet wrong. And, you know, you have to tank some stuff that you mess up. And that's just like part of it. Also, like, sometimes if you're trying to get like a plumber to come to your house, it might be a little tricky, because they don't like, I don't know. It's like, it's hard to figure that out and get things done sometimes. Or sometimes going to the doctor can be like, there's a couple extra steps as a foreigner, but most of that can be like worked out. And, you know, I've been here 2 years now. It's we figured it out. We know the deal.
Wow.
And it's fine. So, yeah, most everything is like really nice and really easy and good. And it's just better. there's also, I mean, living in Taiwan's kind of a specific case, because China's gonna come and invade and bomb us in the next like 10 years. So that's a little bit worrying. But yeah, it's mostly all good.
That's really, yeah, man. I don't know. You can't own a gun.
You can't own a gun, which I think is a positive, in my opinion, because nobody else does either. But one other thing is, I can't get something shipped to me, such as good underwear, you know. So when we go back to the States once a year, the school pays for us to go back to the States once a year, which is nice. So we have to bring an empty suitcase and pack some stuff home.
Yeah, tell me more. So underwear, why underwear? Just because of the fitment or whatever?
I mean, I could find decent underwear, but the like specific one I like doesn't ship here.
Oh, so
it's like whatever. There's a Jell-O. You can't get Jell-O here, so we it's a Utah Jell-O thing. It's we pack like 10 things of Jell-O for a thing that we want. Some cake mixes too. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Definitely bring a couple bags back. What else?
What's like the big, like, is there online, sorry, I interrupted you. Is there like online e-commerce? Like, is Amazon, do you see Amazon in Taiwan, or is that
Amazon will ship, if you have Prime, they'll ship free here a subset of things, which usually is like a lot of things. And you have to, even if you have Prime, you need a $60 minimum to get free shipping here. But we'll do that like once every couple months, like get some stuff from Amazon. But then there's also one called Shopee. And they across the street is like a collection warehouse box kind of thing, and they'll do like next day shipping to there. It's kind of like Amazon in the early days when everything was third-party sellers, and it was like a little bit sketchy, and like the payment system wasn't like super streamlined. So it's like, it's more early days, but I can find a lot of stuff. I get a new Xbox controller or whatever that I need shipped in a day. So, wow. Yeah, a lot of it's, you know, just it's a modern place. We also have a Costco like down the road, like 10 minutes
What's
away.
What's that like? What's Taiwan Costco like? Is it good?
Different. At the food court, they have the pizza is cheese or shrimp and scallops. And they have good? Like instead of no.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of a chicken bake, they have a bulgogi bake, which is good.
Dude, I honestly I think bulgogi is like one of my favorite foods, like top five, top 10 for sure.
It's so good.
So it's because Costco actually here, they will sell bulgogi like in the like deli, you know, like in the cold area. It's like Costco mm-hmm. made, but I haven't seen it forever, man. But their bulgogi is so good. Like, and it's so disappointing to me, man. And I don't know if this is like a thing, you probably know about this, but like half of like any Asian restaurant in specifically Utah is like usually run by Chinese people. So it's like, even if it's like a Korean barbecue, they say it's like a Korean barbecue, but it's just Chinese food, like in a different format. So I'll like go and like try their bulgogi, and I get like so excited, and then it comes out and it's just like terrible. Like, it's like, dude, what? Like, come on. Is how hard could it be?
Are you in St. George now still?
Yeah,
that might be a St. George issue.
I mean, because obviously up north there were a couple Korean places like Iga I really liked, and what's that other one? There's one in Provo called Sam Hawk that I really liked, but no, down here it's like, dude, yeah, we went to this like new Korean barbecue place that opened up here a couple months ago, and like the dude like sat there and like watched me eat, like he was like, "You like it's good," and I'm just like, "Yeah," and it's like, "Not good. Like yeah, I'm never coming back here again." Like, what do you want me to say? Like, yeah, cultural differences.
Yeah.
There was like a Korean like restaurant up here, and like I went in, and I don't know, like they literally had like top ramen on the menu, man. Like, it wasn't even like the good Korean ramen. Like, it was just like literally Nissan top ramen. Like, Nissan. Like, is that? And they're like, no, that's a thing. And I'm like, I don't think it is, man.
That's not good, man. Yeah, that's rough. I mean, yeah. If you, in Seattle, when I was there, I could get some good Asian food.
Yeah, I believe it.
But not Mexican food.
Not Mexican food in Seattle?
Not good Mexican
food. We've got pretty decent Mexican food down here. There's a couple kind of hole-in-the-wall places that I like. But even then, it's like, dude, when you go to a place and it's like they got like the shredded lettuce with like a thing of sour cream on top and a black olive, it's just like so disappointing.
Shredded
wet lettuce, dude.
Well, if you ever come out to my place in Taiwan, across the street is the best Korean barbecue place I've ever been to. Dude,
don't even tempt me.
It's so good. It's better than we've been to Korea a couple times since we've been here, and it's better than the ones in Korea.
Wow.
It's so good.
Wow.
But
so have you had friends and family come and visit you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Caitlin's mom and sister have come. Sister come twice. My parents have come. My brother came.
Your little brother?
Yeah, my little brother. Some of our college friends came out. Yeah, bunch of people.
How's your little brother doing?
Bedroom. He's good. He is. He's a programmer now.
Yeah, I know. He was like, I see him on LinkedIn, like grinding and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. He is a grinder. He's a grinder by nature, and he's better, you know, I haven't programmed coded in the last 2 years and he's been on it. So he's better than me by now. And he's got his own web scraping thing.
The mortgage calculator?
The mortgage calculator, yes. But then now he's also taking like custom, you know, one-off clients. He's like freelancing web scraping and he's making like $10,000 a month on it.
Wow.
just from random people who read his Medium articles and then are like, hey, can you do a project for us?
Wow. Wow, and what a smart guy.
Now he's like, shoot, I'm going to quit my job and move to Vietnam. And so he's moving to Vietnam in November and just going to live off of his web scraping freelance income.
Dude, that's cool. Well, let me ask you this then, man, because look, the average American would look at your lifestyle and say that you're like wasting your life, right? That like you're not contributing to a 401k, you're not paying a mortgage. But I also think that we would be a lot better off if everybody was just like a little bit less ambitious. Like if we just kind of like chilled out like a little bit, you know, like, things aren't so intense. And honestly, like being intense about stuff doesn't even really seem to like matter. Like things kind of work out or they don't work out. Like, and obviously things take effort, but like, it's not like, I don't know. I can't think of anything in my life where it was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be like the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Maybe like childbirth is like the only thing I could think of, but like, I haven't had to do that. My wife has done that. But like beyond that, it's just kind of like, I don't know, like if it's a fit, if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like you don't need to be out here like making your life miserable just to try to get ahead. You know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts on that as a international man of leisure?
Yeah. You know, I'm at this point now, but I definitely was in the rat race and in the mindset. You know, if 5 years ago, if I looked at myself now, I would say, you're an idiot. What are you doing? You're not paying off a mortgage. You're not contributing to a 401k. But, yeah, so like in college, my entire life, I was saying my prayers, you know, saying, please God help me to do well in school so I can go to a good college, so I can get a good job, so I can support my family, so I can go to heaven. And so I did well in school. I got into a good college. I got a good job. And then I got to that job at Microsoft and I was miserable and it sucked and I was making a lot of money and I was like, is this really what I'm going to do for the next, you know, 50 years of my life? This is the worst thing ever. This sucks. And I think that, that along with some other stuff like spawned like, a crisis of faith or even a crisis of like identity or just crisis of whatever
I'll throw a term out for you. There's an SNL skit with Fred Armisen and Dave Grohl's actually on it where they're a wedding. It's a dad's at their daughter's wedding. I don't know if you've seen this and they like get the band back together, their old high school band. And they're called Crisis of Conformity. But it's funny because they're like a punk band. So it's like the wedding. They're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he starts like kicking the tables over and stuff. But yeah, their band is called Crisis of Conformity. It almost sounds like you're dealing with a crisis of conformity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what it was. And it was, I was conforming my whole life. And I thought it would, I was never like really happy, but I thought like the end goal would, I would get happiness there. And that was where it's going to be. And then I got there and I was like, oh shoot, this is not it. And so I spent 2 years at Microsoft and I was like, I got to figure out something else. This is not working for me. This is not good. And my wife and I almost got divorced. Like we were having a hard time because we both were not happy and it was not good. And then we had an idea to try to go move international and it kind of, you know, it worked out this way.
That's really cool.
We had some friends and it worked out and we are happier than we've ever been and we don't think we'll ever go back to America. And we think this life is what we want to do for the rest of our lives.
Because, I mean, I recently went through a very, I mean, I'm going through that right now, right? I was at a startup. It was chill. Like, they were super chill, dude. My old boss, this guy Mike, he's like the best guy ever. He's just like super chill. Like, they'd give me stuff to do, but it wasn't like intense. It was remote, paid pretty well, you know. And then we got acquired, and that ended up actually like paying out. It wasn't like a ton, but it, like, you know, I paid off all of our debt. We don't have vehicle debt and anything like that. I bought my wife a Honda Odyssey. So it was like Honda Odyssey money, not like private jet money, you know? But then it's like, and then it like, so then we get acquired, and then it's like this big kind of publicly traded company, like not as big as Microsoft, but kind of similar. And then it's like, you know, it's, they're paying me more money than I ever, like, growing up, I always thought if I could make 80K, I'll be like, that's solid, you know, like I'll be happy. And they were paying me like 165 a year, and it was sweet, dude. But then I kind of just get to this point where it's like, man, it feels like all I'm doing is sustaining a lifestyle that I'm not even necessarily happy to have. Like, it's not that I'm ungrateful, and like financial stability, yeah, it's great. We were able to move down to St. George, and I do pay up for a mortgage. My house isn't paid off, but it's like, I don't know. I guess I remember a couple years ago when we first moved down to St. George, and I was just doing some like soul searching, and I was thinking like, where do I want to be in like 10 years? And I was like, man, I just want to be like a chill guy that like hangs out. Like, maybe I pressure wash my back patio, hang out with my kids. And I freaking did that. Like, I got exactly what I wanted, and I did it for like probably 2 years, like you're talking about. But then it just creeps in, man, like the conformity or whatever it is, like work. It's like, it starts getting stressful, even though there's nothing to be really stressed about. It's just like, your life becomes to maintain the life that you have. So then you're stressed about, what if I can't maintain the life that I have? What if I get laid off? What if whatever? What if this? What if that? Right? And it's like, man, that is just no way to live. Like, life has to be about more than just that. And so I resigned. Like, I gave them 1 week notice. Like, they didn't even care, you know. It's like, okay, sorry to see you go, whatever. I mean, they cared. What, I don't want to talk bad about my former employer or anything like that, but it feels very similar to what you're talking about, you know. So I guess I kind of want to say, like, you're on the other side, you know. You've been in Taiwan for 2 years doing this thing. I actually wrote this down. What's worth it?
What's worth it?
Yeah.
For me, the thing that's worth it, this is, it's different for everybody. I have very specific things that are worth it. Being able to walk out of my door, at any time of the year, and not have to put a coat on, to be in a warm climate and be able to walk across the street to 7-Eleven is worth it. That is so good. That's one thing that's worth it. Another thing that's worth it is to see a young soccer player be able to make a difference on a team, and the other kids on the team acknowledge improvement of their teammates is worth it to me. For me to help create a team atmosphere with other kids. That was like, growing up, being on a team and being on a soccer team was like pinnacle of life experience. And for me to be able to like facilitate that is huge. I love that. And then number three is to my three or four boys that I teach in the evenings, to make them laugh and play Uno with them and hang out with them and have fun with them and see them learn some English and grow is worth it. I think those three things are like basically what I live for now. And it's definitely worth it. And the amount of work that I have to do to get those things is not great, and it's whatever I have to do to get those things is worth it.
Yeah,
at the moment.
I mean, yeah. Well, and maybe Okay, so I had like this experience where it's like I always kind of sucked in school. Like I just, I don't know. I was like, I don't know. I just didn't do very well. And like, especially now seeing how smart my kids are, like I was like, I struggled, man. Like I remember taking my Pokemon books to third grade show and tell, and they were like, like they were easy books. And I remember my friend was like making fun of me because it's like, and I mean, they were Pokemon books. I'm whatever. I think what I'm trying to distill it down to is it sounds like what you're saying is what's worth it is making an impact. Did you feel like you made an impact at Microsoft? Or do you feel like it's just like,
absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not. Like zero impact. Whatever I did was nothing. And even if I did something, it would like, the only impact I could ever make was on making some internal team at Microsoft's life, like 0.5% easier, and help them build their code like 5% faster.
Just like totally marginal.
Who cares?
So, but now you're connected to your community. You can walk across the street to 7-Eleven to say hello to the cashier. Do you like the same people every day kind of thing? Same guys going there.
Same people every day. They know me. The manager's in there. Like he knows that I buy the same thing every day. Like the front desk people at my apartment to always say hi to me. Like, you know, my soccer team, they're all, you know, they say hi, they're stoked to have me. The boys that I teach are freak out when I come. Teacher Sam, check this out, look at this. You know, it's like instant impact and like measurable and tangible. And it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the conclusion I came to. And that's what I'm hoping to find. And like literally, dude, I volunteered yesterday. I went into my kid's school and made copies for his teacher. It was actually like kind of hard, believe it or not. Like she was like, the front page has to be this color. And then the second is like keeping them front and back and like not getting them reversed and stapling them all together. Like I was there for a couple hours, like 3 or 4 hours, but it was just like awesome. Like maybe it's just a change of scenery or whatever, you know, but it's like, man, when you have these, I got to the point with my corporate job where it was like, look, dude, not only am I not making anyone's life better, I think that actually like, it's like, we're keeping an acquisition on life support. Any code that I ship has higher likelihood to make someone's life worse. And the company is no longer incentivized or even really well equipped to like respond. Like we're literally just doing like engineering projects, you know, to have some, it's like, it feels insane. Right. And I'm like looking at these managers, these senior managers. And it's like, I'm looking at myself in 15 years, 10 years. And it's like, I just can't do it, man. Like I can't stare into the abyss and not scream, you know, like I have to figure something else out. And it really was one day. It's like, it's funny. Cause it's like, you know, we get acquired and it's like chill and sweet. And then all the founders start leaving and it starts getting like less. And then, you know, things start breaking and I got thrown into like a production issue with a customer and they were super pissed about it. And it was extremely stressful. That was last September, a year ago. And then it's just like, oh, now I'm just waiting for that to happen again. You know, it's like, nothing good could possibly happen. Like, it's not like they're going to say like, I don't know. They gave me a promotion, but it's like materially my day to day, it's like nothing good could possibly happen. It's just, we're waiting for the, you know, shiz to hit the fan or whatever it is. And I'm really, really very excited. And it's very encouraging to hear you say that you can make a difference. It doesn't have to be huge grand gestures, and there are opportunities all around us too. I think, just being there with your eyes open and your mind uncluttered to be able to say, yeah, I'll be the assistant soccer coach. Oh, okay. Yeah, dude, I can run practice. Oh yeah. I mean, sure. I'll be the head coach. Like, you know what I mean? Just like taking those opportunities. Yeah, that makes a difference, man. Like working for a public company, it sucks. It's super, like, it's depressing. It's soul sucking.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Well, I'm happy for you and I'm excited. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Thank you.
I think you're going to find that life doesn't suck as bad as a public company drone life.
But even and even like the startup life, like we kind of went through that together, and that I would say that sucked. I mean, obviously there were good, there were people that didn't suck.
I think it sucked, but at least I don't know. I felt like at some point, maybe it was naive and I was young and it was like kind of an earlier job, but there was some sense of camaraderie and like there's some sense of fight and purpose, but I don't know. And we got to go to what Arctic Circle and get ice cream on the on Fridays.
Dip cones, baby.
That's dip cones.
Funny. Yeah. Well, and I don't, it might just be a Utah thing. I don't know if Utah like company, like business leadership is particularly bad. It seems like it is from my experience. I can't think of, very many Utah based like for-profit companies that I even think are honestly like even ethical, like let alone like a good place to work. Like I could fire off like literally every company I can even think of. Like any company you see for a billboard driving on I-15 is like hell. It's
like, wouldn't work there, wouldn't work there.
And you see the news articles too. It's like just insane stuff. These guys, you know, you want to work for Ryan Smith so he can buy the Jazz. Like, dude, I just don't know, man. And I think that there probably are so let me ask you this then. Here's my next follow-up question. Why should you care? So I ask you what's worth it. Yeah, why is caring worth it? Because here's another problem that I run into, and I wonder if you can sympathize with this. I feel like I'm not incentivized to care. Like, especially at like a job, like going above and beyond, you're more than likely to get your hand chopped off before you get a reward, right? And in life too, like just keep your head down, don't say anything, go with the flow. But the problem is look, I'll just say it right now. I believe that you and I are above average people, right? Like, I don't know, like intelligence really can't be quantified, but, yeah, dude, like I think we're like, you are a non-typical person. Like how many people do you know that have done what you have done? Right? Like, it's not like you climb Mount Everest, but honestly, dude, I can name a lot of people who've climbed Mount Everest. I can't name anybody who's effed off after working at Microsoft for 2 years and moved to Taiwan. Right? So I guess I just kind of feel like, why should you care? Like, it's a little bit similar to what's worth it, but why? What's the motivation for you?
I think it's a good question. It can be a selfish thing. I think on my mission, I served in Cambodia. It was I didn't care until I until I started to like find some people that I liked and wanted to help them out and wanted to say, hey, maybe I can make your life a little bit better. And in turn, that made my days happier to figure out, to be thinking, oh, what can I do to make people happier? Right now, like when I go to sleep, I'm thinking about, okay, what should I do for soccer practice tomorrow? Like, how can I help Josh understand that he needs to pass the ball better? Or how can I, you know, what book should I rent from the library to get Johnson excited for reading, you know, that kind of thing. And like when those are my thoughts, I'm just happier. And I think selfishly, that's probably worth it. Like in a selfish way, when you care about, when you care about people, when you care about other stuff, then it's happy. Yeah. You're happy.
Very interesting. I know you've had your own religious journey. Myself have had my own religious journey. But I'm super down with Christianity, dude. Not like, and you know, the parable or whatever, the experience of Jesus at the with the guy at the pool of Bethesda, where it was like the first person in the water every hour like got healed. So this guy, I don't know what his problem was, but he had been there for like, I don't know how long, like 40 years. I don't know. I don't read the New Testament, but, and then Jesus came and he like opened up his tent or whatever the dude was in there. He'd been there for 40 years sitting here in filth. And he literally just told him like, stand up and go sit, like, don't sit here, like go on, you know? And the dude literally did it. He just stood up and went away. And I think to me, the moral of that story is, I think that was the first person in that dude's entire life, at least in the last 40 years that he'd been sitting there at the pool of Bethesda, where anybody expected him to do anything. Everybody just looked at that guy and wrote him off as a sick, homeless, cripple, whatever the guy's problem was. And it wasn't until somebody actually cared about him enough to like, hey, I love you and you can do this, man. And it's like, that's all the guy needed. Like, I don't think Jesus was magical in that instance. I think that guy just needed someone to care about him. And I think that is so worth it, dude. Like, it doesn't matter if it's like, yeah, a guy on the street, a kid in your, in a kid down the hall on a soccer team, an intern that you're working with, you're trying to recruit to. Literally my motivation with the internship program, I could give an F about the company we work for, right? It's like, I don't care, but dude, if I can help this guy, this person out, get their first internship, learn skills, have a good experience, you know, the camaraderie like you're talking about, it's like, yeah, that gets me motivated. And I think it's completely individual too. I don't think that you can, like, you can't become an influencer. If my YouTube channel, like, I have a 10 billion subscribers or whatever, it doesn't, like, no, it's parasocial. It's not a real connection, dude. It has to be like face to face. Look, man, I'm here and I care about you. I feel like, is that kind of what you're alluding to?
Yeah, for sure. I think humans need that. I think at least human, yeah, the human connection, the face-to-face, the eye contact, the connection, the community. At least for me, that's what motivates me.
I think it's everyone, dude. And I think that the people that don't have that, I think that they're actually misguided and lost. Like, we get tricked by mass media to believe that the thing that we care about is where did we go on vacation? You know, what kind of car do we have? Things like that. But like, we get so alienated and it's very depressing because those things don't matter at all. Right. The things that matter are, I literally think that the only thing that matters is that personal one-on-one connection you have with people, the friends that you have and how you, I mean, it's not even friends, right? It's like you're saying, it's like the cashier, the store. Like, I have this, I'm kind of obsessed with like the idea of like virtue and excellence, like, and I know it's hard. Like I don't always live up to it, but it's like, who's the best Dave I can be? And it's like, if I go to the grocery store and I go to the checkout line, like what is the best checkout experience that I could provide to the cashier? Right. Like, I think it's just shutting up and buying your things and getting out. Right. Like, but I don't know, like I'm in that situation. There's this grocery store I go to sometimes and they have this cashier guy and he's kind of weird, but like, he likes me and I just try really hard to be nice to him, you know? And like, Yeah.
I think that reminds me when in Seattle I was going to church, Mormon church regularly still, and I decided, okay, I don't really believe this stuff, but I'm going to do the best that I can to make my ward the best it can be. And I'm not going to watch General Conference because they don't know my ward.
Yeah.
I know my ward better than they do.
Yeah.
And I know what my deacons that I was in charge of need more. And so I would, you know, in the same way that I think about my soccer team now, and I'm thinking, what can I do to help these kids? I would think about, you know, my 12-year-old, 13-year-old boys that I was in charge of in the boys group and think about, you know, what can I do to have a fun activity this Wednesday? And that was so fulfilling to me. And anything outside of that, General Conference, like State Conference, anything outside of that was noise and it was like distracting. And when I focused in on how can I make the people that I'm in contact with on a day-to-day basis or on a week-to-week basis the happiest and that's all that I'm going to focus on. And I'm going to filter out anything that's like outside of that.
Yep.
That's when I feel, you know, good and feel connected and happy.
Yeah, that's so cool, because that's basically where I'm at too. They asked me to teach gospel doctrine, so the adult Sunday school class.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, dude. My lowest grade at BYU was in New Testament, man. Like I got a C minus. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got my report card, and I'm like, I'm literally, like, definitively, I am a worse Christian than I am an engineer, and I'm not a very good engineer, dude. I was in like electrical engineering, like, I don't know, squat, but it's like, dude, apparently I know even less about Christianity, despite the fact that apparently I've been one my whole life, you know? So they asked me to teach gospel doctrine. It's just like, and they have like the new manual that you teach out of and everything, and people are like, dude, you're so good. Like, I love, like, it's like, honestly, like, kind of, like, sounds like I'm bragging, but it's like, honestly, kind of a problem. Like, because people think that, like, I'm the reason why it's good, but I'm like, it's not. I'm just there to help them. I'm just trying. And I think that everybody is capable of that. And it honestly doesn't even matter. Like, if they say it's the thought that counts. And I think that there's that. The caring and the intent is communicated. I don't know if it's telepathically, you call it spiritually, but like, there's nothing you could say that it's like, okay, this guy prepared a lesson and he's here and he's trying hard. That communicates so much more than anything I could ever say. And everybody is capable of that. I've actually got a really, really good friend who has Down syndrome. And he is like that, dude. Like, he just shows up 100%. Like, if you're talking to him, you get 100%. And, you know, for better or worse, most of the time it's better. Like, I love Down syndrome kids because of that reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah, man. Dude.
I want to go to your gospel doctrine class.
Dude, I'll, dude, it's funny, man. I actually rage hard too. Cause like the thing now is like, I don't know if you know about this, but there's like podcasts, like they do like these, like podcasts. Okay. So the program is called Come Follow Me.
Yeah, come follow me.
So like John, by official, the way, no, yeah, it's like, or? No, third okay. party. Like John, by the way, crap. Dude, I did
listen to those. Yeah,
dude, I rage so freaking hard. I think that John, by the way, is like, well, I think that people like that are the greatest. I think that they're way worse than like any anti-Mormon, whatever, like on Reddit or whatever. It's like these like self-serving for-profit individuals that are selling the gospel. Yeah. It's priestcraft, dude. And it's so destructive because, for example, there's another person who teaches gospel doctrine with me. And she struggles, dude. She struggles bad. And you want to know why she struggles? She thinks she struggles because she's not as smart as me. I'll tell you why she struggles. Because she, instead of using her own brain to read the manual and come up with her own insights, she listens to every freaking gospel, every podcast, and it's crap, dude. And they say, oh, it's like two BYU professors. I'm like, bro, anybody who's ever been forced to take a BYU religion class would run from a BYU religion professor podcast, dude. I hate it so much. And the other thing, since I'm talking to you, I'll throw it under the bus. The Chosen. Do you know about The Chosen?
Oh, the TV show,
the TV show, the Jesus show, dude. I hate that show, man. I hate it so bad. Yeah. I think that those people, I tell people this, I'm like, you'd be better off doing nothing. You'd be better off literally like just closing your eyes, lay down on the floor, stare at the ceiling, do nothing. It's bad. And we can get into the media stuff too. Like, I'm very conscientious of the media we consume now, because the media we consume is literally what we become. So when we're on Instagram and social media and we're getting all hyped up about whatever the latest thing is, I'm not saying that there aren't real problems in the world, but like materially, what can I do about it? I can go out my front door, say hi to my neighbor and smile. Like literally that's all I can do. Like maybe I could join the army and go become a commando and solve all the world's problems or whatever. Go try to become the next Bill Gates so I could get billions of dollars to give to like, frankly, counterfeit charities. Just like, I mean, there's weasels everywhere that are pocketing the money, embezzling. Like, no, dude, no, I'm not going to take that gamble. The gamble I'm going to take, and I think that you nailed it with kids, is kids are always worth the investment. And the younger they are, like, because it's just pure, right? Like, if I'm nice to you, if I'm like, hey, Sam, like, I'll give you a ride to work. And then we build this relationship where I'm now giving you rides to work or something. It's like, we take advantage of each other, dude. We just do. Like, inherently, it's like, I don't know why, but we just do. Adults, I don't know. It's just our inner human nature. But kids, Like, maybe they're taking advantage, like, oh, Sam is here, yay. But no, dude, they're just literally stoked that you're there. Like, what do they want from you? They just want your attention. And yeah, I think that that's why I think kids are worth it. I was talking to my wife the other day, you know, we're really trying to be very conservative with our money right now because I don't have a paycheck anymore. And I said, I think that kids are worth splurging on. Not spoiling, but I think that they are. Yeah, kids. And I think you nailed it.
I think that's true. They are. And they're cute, man. I substituted a kindergarten class for 2 weeks, and they were, that was like the best 2 weeks, and also the most tired I've ever been in my life.
But yeah, dude, my youngest right now, I've got four kids, my youngest is two, and it's like, it's just a lot, like a lot all the time, but it's, yeah, and I'm obviously, we're talking from like an idealistic perspective here, because the reality is we are humans, we have physical bodies, and like we get tired and grumpy and don't get good sleep or whatever it is, you know, that kind of prevent us from being who we maybe could be. But I think, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I saw my friend at Costco the other day, and his kid has autism, and he was like, yep, we're here at Costco looking at the ceiling fan.
Yeah, dude.
I thought of your kid.
By the way, he's doing great. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get caught. Well, whatever. I can say whatever I want. Like, you know, do vaccines cause autism? And I'm like, if anything, my kid is less autistic. The more vaccines he's had, the less autistic he's become. Because there was a period of time where he was obsessed with ceiling fans, like, heavily. It's funny because I made a YouTube channel for him. And that's, like, still the YouTube channel that they use, like, when they're watching TV, because like I don't want them to go on mine and mess up my recommendations, or even though it's like crap. But yeah, that's hilarious, dude. Ceiling Costco guys, do the Costco there, do they have the big giant ones then?
They do. That's why he was there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
One of those companies was actually based in Kentucky, and in one of the areas I was in, a lot of people work there. It's called Big Ass Fans.
It's an appropriate name.
I don't know, dude, but even that, it's like, well, when I started paying attention to ceiling fans, it's like, dude, there's actually some pretty cool ceiling fans. Like, there was a gas station in Springville that had these ones that, like, it looked like the front of, like, a World War II fighter bomber airplane with, like, the propeller. It was all painted, you know, with, like, the mouth or, like, bullet bill, like a Mario. It's like, I don't know. And I think there's another thing there, too, that, like, I think that anything is interesting if you are, like, if you just care enough, basically. Like, just like, well, and the thing that's most interesting to me is other people's interests, you know. That's why I wanted to do this podcast, because it's just like people are diverse and fascinating, you know.
Yeah.
What are your other interests then, besides video games and teaching soccer and kids? Do you have any like hobbies, or like do you do art, or do you do anything creative?
I got a 3D printer back here that I what work is it? On sometimes. Reality? It's a Soval. It was like a couple years ago, Reddit's recommendation.
Cool. What do you make?
I made my PC case.
Cool. Whoa, you 3D printed a whole ATX case?
It's an ITX case.
Wow, even better, dude, because ITX cases are 100 grand. That's very cool, man.
Yeah.
What kind of power supply does it use?
An S... F.
You have to get a janky weird one, a specific one, because that's the problem with mine, is like the SFX power supplies are hard to get, or they're not good.
Yeah, I was using an ITX case, a normal ITX case before that had a smaller power supply, so I just ripped it out of that.
That's cool.
But yeah, I printed that, which was cool. I printed some stuff for my kids that I tutor, and I go over and show them and have fun messing around with little fidget toys.
Yeah, man.
What else do I do? I don't know.
Like, I'll show you what I'll show the last thing I 3D printed. It's a Da Vincian geometric shape. I think it's called a rhombectohedron or something like that. But Da Vinci, there's like a sketchbook where he sketched one of these out, and I just needed to like see it in physical space, and it's like really interesting to like just kind of look at. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I have a server down here that I was doing all this homebrew stuff on.
Cool.
I was really into that for a while, until one of my containers logs got, you know, 700 gigs big and clogged my RAID storage, so I had to wipe the whole thing. Now I just torrent stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of that, my home server, I noticed my Plex is down, so I don't know what's up with that, but I still use the trackers you invited me to. In fact, I just sent my friend I just invited him to Anonymous. Nice. I don't know if we're allowed to say that a lot, but yeah, man, that's the one I use the most because like, I'm just
the books.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Cause like you can like get the Libby app or whatever. And like, I'm just like, yeah. I'm not going to, well, the other thing is like, I'm not going to, like, I don't read enough to like, so I can just have them all on my phone, you know, it's like, it's like awesome. I can just,
it's so nice.
Yeah. Like I feel bad for the, like, I don't know if they gave me the option to buy a DRM free ebook, I'd take it, but they don't.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, and to buy a DRM free ebook is like, you have to jump through more hoops than it is to just pirate it. So,
that's true.
Allegedly, that is something maybe you could do.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly, we torrent things.
I wrote in a Discord, maybe, like, somebody's asking, like, how Tears of the Kingdom runs on, like, a Switch emulator. And I was like, I had a dream once that I ran it on, like, release day in a Switch emulator on my Mac, and it ran great. But I don't know if that's real.
I don't know about that. Oh, yeah. I got a new, this summer I got a OnePlus 13 phone. It has the Snapdragon 8 Elite, which is the newest one. And I have like a controller that I attach to the side of it. And so I can emulate Switch games.
Nice, dude. Nintendo lawyers have entered the chat. What game controller did you get?
It's a GameSir G8.
Is it good?
It's really good. It's nice. Yeah,
I got one of those like, I think it's Backbone. I got one of those Backbone ones for my son for Christmas. He didn't really use it, but I actually played through Symphony of the Night using that because there's a Symphony of the Night port on Apple. But yeah, I've got other. Well, okay, because you were telling me that you got one of the Chinese handhelds, right?
Yeah. I got the one that looks like a Game Boy SP. The flip up one.
Which one is that called? Do you know?
Boom.
Nice.
Amber Nick.
Is it good? You like it?
I love it. You can install, like, there's some ports of PC games like Stardew Valley. There's a bunch of games. Man. I mostly play Stardew Valley.
Really? You play Stardew Valley mobile on your Game Boy? I've never played Stardew Valley. But I'll tell you what, dude, that's like my favorite, like, and this kind of goes back to what we're talking about, too, because I have this saying that I say that's like, you can never pay a software engineer to be as productive as some random European guy on like 6 months of vacation. And by the way, did you know where the Linux kernel came from? Some random European guy on like Christmas vacation. And so the thing that I love the most is like, I don't even necessarily think like autistic people are a problem because it's like, dude, these, I'm not calling them all autistic, but like, like they're passionate enough about like Sonic. Did you hear about like, they're like doing the decompilation and the recompilation. And it's like, you can just like straight up play Super Mario 64, like natively on like every platform. Yeah. I mean, I even downloaded the source code to Pokemon Red and I started making my own, like, I was like modifying the assets and the script. It's like, it's so cool. Like, it's just such a cool time to be a nerd. Nerds are awesome. I think if everybody just nerded out all the time, I think that the CEOs, like the business people, are the psychopaths. Like, it's a psychopath. It's like a nerd is like, oh, look at this Linux kernel I made. Like, it's just a thing I did. The psychopaths are like, I'm valued at $72 billion valuation. It's like, that's just so psychotic to me. Like, that bears no meaning to anything in reality. And frankly, it's also fake. Like, I mean, yeah.
The CEOs are profiting off of the collective autism of of all of the nerds.
They are, dude. And that's the thing. Yeah. And it's actually funny because you can look up, I've looked up statistics and I don't have anything that I can quote offhand, but you can look this up. They've done like studies on psychopaths, like people that are psychotic. And actually there is a higher rate of psychopaths in leadership in like Fortune 500 companies than there are in the prison population, dude. There are literally less psychos in prison than there are working for Microsoft. Like, that's, and it's true, dude. Like, I don't know what the heck it is, but it's a problem. And I think it makes the whole world bad, which is why I think it's so important for us as individuals to just reject it and say, look, I'm going to care about an individual. I don't care about you, your profits. I don't care about your bonus. You can't tempt me with money. You can't control me with money. Right.
Yeah. Just play Uno with kids. Go play soccer. Go substitute a class.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to sub. Copies. Yeah. Making copies. I mean, even that was cool. Like the copy machine they had is called a risograph, which is like an actually alternative form of printing. Like it's not a laser toner. It's like, it's actually kind of more like a newspaper. I'd never used one before. It's just like interesting. It's like cool. They're actually like risographs are like really popular with like punk, like DIY zines. So it's like, I felt cool. Dude, it's like, oh, I'm like making a underground like anarchist zine, you know, here. It's like, no, I'm just making packets, freaking packets, yo. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I'm making freaking packets, yo, but they're good packets, you know. I made them good. I tried my hardest on. I tried to make them good.
Yeah.
Can't hand a kid a freaking packet. All right, well, look, dude, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit more about Cambodia. Because, dude, like, what's up with, you've lived in Asia for, like, have you lived in Asia, like, longer than you lived in America? Like, almost?
Yeah, 11 years. I'm 29. I lived in Asia for 11 years.
Like over 30. So,
almost half. Yeah.
That's cool. So, tell me more about Cambodia and living in Asia in general.
Asia, I mean, I'm very biased because I spent like my formative years in Asia and they treat me like a king because I am tall and have blonde hair. So I'm biased, but Asia's the best. It's cheap. It's warm. Most of the places are warm. The people are generally nice. And, if you speak like two words in their language, they freak out. They
excited.
Freak out. Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, I love you. And the food is always great. Only sometimes you get diarrhea from the food.
I get diarrhea from the food here, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, it's just good vibes over here, man. It's cheap. Did I say that? It's cheap. It's very cheap.
So Asia, goes to crap, I should move. As somebody who has blonde hair, blue eyed children, I should move to Asia, sounds like.
Definitely. They will have a good time for sure. Yeah.
If you could go back in time and say when you graduated college, you graduated, right? You didn't. I'm a dropout, but you graduated. So if you go back in time to when you graduated, what would you tell yourself?
I'd say,
like, would you change it? Like, knowing what you know now, would you do anything differently?
Here's the thing is, I do have a substantial amount of money in my 401k at the moment. So I give respect to my former self, my 2 years at Microsoft. I definitely honor that part of myself and I say, thank you. And I'm here now and happy. And part of that is because of those 2 years. So I don't know if I would change it. I'd have to think more about it. I don't think I regret anything. Maybe I could have made more friends in Seattle and had a little bit of a better time, but I say, you know, if my life led me to this point and I'm so happy here and I'm, you know, every day is great for me now.
So be it.
Okay. Yeah, so be it. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of have similar thoughts because, like, I kind of have this question of, like, I wonder if I've ever made a mistake in my life, which sounds so insane. But, like, who's to say that I could have done anything differently? Like, I made the decisions I made because I made them. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I've never done a DUI. I've never killed somebody in my car. Like, so it's not like I've done like bad things necessarily. I've definitely done things. Maybe I, like, in retrospect is like, oh, that was maybe a little short sighted, or I could have done that differently. But like, that's not who I was at that time. You know, like at the time I was the person who did that thing, and now I can learn and grow from that. So I kind of have similar thoughts. I think maybe like, maybe I just reassure myself like, hey man, it'll work out. You're going to be okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, I would say that to myself. I'd say, hey, it's going to be all right. Maybe I'm on some antidepressants and some ADHD medication, and it's very helpful. And maybe I would nudge myself to get those a few months earlier than I did.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it's a good life.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Maybe that. Yeah. I go see a therapist every other week. I've been seeing him for a couple of years now. He's really awesome. I really like him. He's just like,
yeah,
he just helps me a lot. I don't know, maybe would it like, hey, you should maybe look into something like that sooner. But yeah, like, again, it's like, I don't know. That's not who I was. So, yeah. Very right. Cool. Sam, what words of wisdom do you have for me in closing?
Have fun subbing. Don't get, I've got the principals come and, you know, talk to me a few times after subbing, being like, don't do that when you sub. So don't worry about it. You're going to mess up a few times. Some kids are going to cry on your watch probably. And, it'll be okay. It's
yeah.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Get
in trouble, but what are they going to do? Fire you?
Right. And that's, well, and that's the other thing is like, I don't know. You have to take other people's opinions with a grain of salt, even if they're your boss, yeah, truthfully. Like, you can't take what your boss thinks about you to heart, because it's like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining the podcast, man. I really appreciate it. It's been awesome catching up with you.
Yeah, it's been good. Should talk again sometime.
Yeah. I'll let you get back to your 9 hours of Hollow Knight.
Yes.
Is that what you got for the rest of the day?
Yeah, Silk Song.
Silk Song.
Let's go.
Interrobang.